Du Schatz, wie wird's Wetter morgen?
Auch keine Lust mehr auf Smalltalk? Dann mach mit uns deine Gedanken lebendig. Wir sind dein Podcast über Kreativität, Lebenssinn und Ideen, die uns tagtäglich begegnen.
Kaffee Kumpli.
Welcome to another episode of Café Complet. And yeah, today I'm here with my friend Edward Kay. He's a game developer, and we also organize a lot of creativity events here in Lisbon, right? And yeah, we are talking very often about the topic of creativity, about the process, the creative process. And therefore, I asked him to make this podcast interview today together because I think he has a very interesting approach to that topic, as he is mixing like the technology side with the creative part. And yeah, can you introduce yourself?
Sure. Yeah, well, thank you very much for having me. My name's Edward, as we've already said. I'm an independent game developer, and I've been making games for about 18 years, but only the last few I've been doing it by myself, working on my own projects. And I'm originally from the UK, but living in Lisbon at the moment.
Yeah, what was the reason that you started actually to become a freelancer or to have your own company actually? In this kind of business, right? I think it's very, as you told me that, I also read actually your article. We know each other like 1 year, and I read the last month, I read his article, and it was interesting to hear really your background, right? The start from the company and why you decided to have your own project. What was actually the reason?
So quite a few reasons, I guess. But the main one at the time was that I felt like it was really hard to find a project that I really wanted to work on. The console industry, the video game console industry, was very much getting kind of stale, in the sense of like a lot of the games were remakes or sequels or prequels, just very safe bets, and that's not very exciting from a creativity point of view, from a design perspective. And so I was getting a bit fed up with this and wanted to work on something more interesting. And then at the same time, the tools that you use to build games were starting to get to a really good point where there was just a lot of really good free tools that really enabled independent developers to create some pretty cool stuff. And so it was really good timing from that point of view. But yeah, it definitely took a lot of kind of big decisions to push myself over the edge, as it were.
Which decisions? So what was the most thing you were scared of before starting your own?
I guess like you wonder like, am I going to actually make any money is a pretty key thing. And just can you do it as well? You know, like I was a game designer, not a programmer. So, if you're making a game by yourself, you need to program it. You need to obviously design it. You need to also create the art, the sound, the music and everything, unless you use contractors, but obviously contractors cost money. So that makes it, you definitely starting off, you're thinking, like, is this actually possible, right? There's kind of a big decision from that perspective. And then also, you're working without any pay for some time. It takes a long time to make a game. So that's also a really big factor.
So your first game, how long does it take? Can you?
So it's a climbing game where you swing up mountains with a grappling hook and try to avoid all kinds of hazards like angry goats and mountain lions and things like that. And it's a mobile game. And it took me about 2.5 years in total to get from the very beginning, the concept, to a final launch. But there was a lot that happened in between then.
So, yeah, I can imagine that it's different, right? That you have the creative process actually from the company, which is maybe more guided. And then the first start where you're completely free. I mean, I know, yeah, for me, it was actually the same starting from scratch with projects. I had a lot of ideas because I always have a lot of ideas. But I, at the very beginning, it was actually also pretty hard to give it a structure or to come also to a result, right? And I had also a lot of moments where I stuck in between and when I said, oh, this is rubbish. Yeah, what is... Yeah, regarding, for example, your first game you developed, how was the creative process there? What did you found difficult? How did you approach, yeah, until you actually had a result where you were actually also satisfied with?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Do you mean the first game I worked on by myself?
Yeah, this... Yeah. Hangline.
So, it's interesting. The creative process is kind of one of those things where you work for a company and you follow their process. And it's different in every company, depending on the team, really. But when you're working by yourself, you suddenly realize, like, oh, I need a process. you could try and do it without one, but you're just sort of...
Yeah, you need structure, right?
Yeah, exactly. I just went about it kind of based on what I'd learned working in companies, but then also adapting things to what made sense to me. And it is quite a... It's a pretty long process, but I'd say it all starts with ideas, right? Generally, I think a lot of people have a lot of ideas. You know, some people will literally have one idea for a game they want to make, and they will sort of drop everything and build that game. You know, they just, some people, I think, operate like that. Like, it's almost like spontaneous creativity, or just having, you know, very fixated on an idea. But I'm not really like that, or I kind of discipline myself not to be like that. So I tend to have just ideas randomly in different points, you know, in the shower, on the toilet, whatever. And I write them down.
Afterwards, then.
Sometimes you might not remember. You have to do it at the moment that you're doing it, but yeah, have to be careful. That happens over a long period of time, right? And it's also, you're just... You know, something might inspire you. It might be a film you watched. It might be another game you played. It might be just you're traveling somewhere and you see something that looks really interesting. It might be something in an art gallery. It could be, you know, literally anything might spring an idea. And I'll be writing things down when those moments happen.
But how much time do you give for a creative process?
Yeah, well, that kind of thing you ideally want to do whilst you're still in employment, or, you know, you're working on a current project sort of thing. But this is kind of, I would say, almost the incubation period, and at least I find that helpful to have that period. But it's also not just random. It's not just you're just writing some idea that pops up. You usually have a goal in mind. So you usually have, like, okay, I want to make a game, and it's got to be something relatively small because I'm doing it myself. I think at the point where I started, I also was thinking about doing a mobile game, you know, so there's already a few little constraints there, right? And then, you know, that kind of thing helps guide the ideas, if that makes sense. Like, you're kind of almost looking at the world in a certain filter created by those requirements that you have. So, you know, you're watching a movie and then you have a specific idea because you know you want to be making a certain type of game. For me, it was like making an action game on mobile. So that's kind of part of it. And then, like I said, that incubation period is ideally as long as possible. You know, you should, like for me, I'm always writing ideas down, basically, like, you know, whenever they pop up. So yeah, I just use a note-taking app on the phone, which syncs with my computer, basically, so I can read them on the computer and then assemble them into another form.
What is the name of this?
Well, at the moment, I just use Dropbox, and then I just have... Dropbox has its own built-in text editor, so I just use simple text files, and then I use Notepad++ on the PC.
I think this is even very interesting, right? I mean, for me, yeah, some of the community members, they asked how to structure it, and if you use it every time, you don't think that is something special? And yeah, because for example, I use this Keep Note from Google, and where you can also have audio voices, you can structure it with tags in the end. But an Evernote, I think, was also a good tool. Where, yeah, is it? Do you need to pay for that? I'm actually...
You need to pay for Evernote,
But what I think is also difficult to, if you have a lot of thoughts you put inside, in the end, where do you know this I can take for my game and this is something I delete? Because if you would, even if you do the journaling, right, every a day to write something down, or you have like a
Honest, I don't think I ever delete anything.
Okay.
I'm that kind of person.
Because you write it on paper, maybe it's not possible to delete.
I just have a lot of computer memory. No, I still have things I've written down from when I was 16. And I still have computer files from when I was 16. And I still have actually books, notebooks from when I was like in my teens of writing ideas down. No, I just never throw anything away. But the key thing is you have to be organized, because if you're just, you know, writing, let's say, ideas down in a giant list and you're constantly adding to it, eventually the list is too big that you can't usefully use that, right? It's too hard to find things. So I categorize everything. So, you know, step one is I have a random idea, it gets written down, right? Then step two is, you know, maybe I've got quite a few of those ideas written down, and occasionally, maybe once a month, say, I'll be doing a review of those, just a quick check over them, and then seeing, okay, where do these fit in? Like, how do I categorize them into what I already have? So I already have a few spreadsheets which contain various kind of categories. For making a game, I'll have stuff like these are ideas for an interesting setting, or these are ideas for a sort of premise that sounds promising, or these are a game mechanic idea, something that the player might be doing, and there's all these different categories and areas in I have sort of spreadsheet tabs for almost anything you can think of. But basically that means that those ideas are getting pulled out of the sort of list into that on a reasonably regular basis. And that way, when you need something, you can find it easier, basically. So that's kind of step two of the process.
I think the worst case is when you really start from scratch, right? Because you even know that you wanted to develop a game in a year, I don't know, or you had like already a vision that it should be a mobile game. But what is if you start a project from scratch where you actually need to find out what actually do you want to implement, right? And when I started it after leaving the agency, after I've worked as a Google Ads strategist, I just wrote down what I actually wanted to do all my life, like art, dance, you know. And first I had so many ideas, also like do organizing like art and dance travels to Lisbon, or writing a book. And what I heard from a lot of people, and it was also for me, that if you have a lot of things, you're like to do, but to structure your project and to find like a red line in it, over topic something like that.
An overview?
Yeah, but the big topic you have like in the middle, like now creativity, you know, where you can structure all that, what you made around that. And this at the very beginning, it was very hard to find it out. And I also used like creative structure sheets where I had like project one, project two, project three, which project you want to start first. With the other, maybe it has like I will start in a year or in 2 years. Then also the percentage, because I also started actually to work for clients in online marketing, but I also wanted to develop in the same time my dance business and to organize like creativity events, right? And it was all at the same time, and not to have like the worst thing is to get not an overload and to balance it, to say like how many percentage you want to work for one project and for how many percentage you want to work mm-hmm. for the other. And then I also planned like one creativity day at the very beginning, actually for that, to get even ideas for something new, right? Because if you have only tasks for each project, you get really confused and you get not new ideas, right? And sometimes you are stuck somehow. So for me it's actually the same. I think I also start with the keep notes, then when I knew the project I'm working with, and then I also use the Google Drive folder. I have something like Meister Task, which is maybe a bit better than Trello, I don't know, where I have like all the projects I'm working with and the task of the day. But the most difficult thing is to give also time for creativity, I would say, but for you actually it's necessary, right? Because if you need the ideas first before you develop a game. So you need to have this creativity time for a certain period, right? And not to think, oh, actually I feel like I'm doing nothing, but this is so important.
Well, that's the thing. you definitely don't want to feel
time-wasting.
time-wasting when, you know, you're supposed to be building something. There's nothing more frustrating, to be honest. And that's why I think it's good to have, you know, ideas kind of in advance, really. It's almost like planning ahead. I mean, I don't know if you know much about, like, magic or have watched any sort of films on it or anything, but they always say like the best magic tricks are the ones that are like planned in advance, sometimes like months and years, almost like they know, you know, the magicians figured out like, you know, how to do something in advance or planned it in advance. I feel like it's pretty similar with games sometimes. But also, just in general, you don't want to be trying to, you know, do some work in a day and then be like, oh, I don't have any idea what, you know, this new character should be or this new obstacle. You want to be able to kind of just work on it, really. So that's why it's really good to have ideas before, and then, you know, maybe you're spending more time in the day either just refining the design for that or actually building it, ideally. So for me it's kind of, you know, when I'm not actually sat at the computer working and I'm, I don't know, let's say walking somewhere or doing something else, my brain's ticking along thinking of like ideas, or not just thinking of ideas, but thinking like kind of assembling those ideas into a design a lot of the time. So that's almost step three in a way, or at least it's definitely a continuous process that's happening after that, right? So it's almost like you're just trying to be efficient, right? You're trying to use your work time to work and build stuff, and then you're kind of, you know, in between moments to kind of plug ideas together and come up with designs.
Did you stress yourself also if you don't get an idea, so you force yourself like to get faster in your creative process, or Would you say, oh, yeah, if I don't have the idea today, or this, I know what to do?
Well, that's the best thing you can do, is to, yeah, pause and work on something else. Yeah, definitely. But hopefully, you know, if you are following this kind of incubation process, you actually usually have like more than enough ideas to draw from. But you know, often you'll still not necessarily have a design of how they can work, right? And that, as I said, I feel that that takes me time to you know, to design stuff, and I'm kind of better, or I'm usually going to be making more interesting designs if I'm just relaxed and, I know, let's say I'm watching a concert or something, you know, that's like a really good time for me where my brain kind of figures things out, as it were, because it's just kind of semi-distracted by the music, but not like totally distracted, so I can kind of just, you know, mull things over, and I've often found that I like solve some of the harder design problems I have in those moments, and it's just kind of more efficient that way. So when you're actually, you know, getting on with some work, you're properly you know, getting on with something, because you, yeah, if you're really not sure where something should go, it's definitely better to switch tracks onto something else, for sure.
I think for me it would be so difficult, actually, because you have your result, if it also regarding the success of a game, right? I mean, the first game was pretty successful, but it took a long time.
The first and only game I've released, yes.
So after your process of creating it and the success, how much time was in between?
Wait, from the moment of success and then starting the next thing?
No, the process, so the idea, finding ideas, to, yeah, program the game, to release it, until it gets successful, was the time frame?
Yeah, I think I worked on the game in total from start to finish 2.5 years. The sort of collecting ideas I was doing for a long time before that, probably even a year, you know, it took me about a year to decide that I really wanted to, you know, or let's say deciding to make that that leap of sort of doing my own thing. That took some time, maybe even 6 months or so, and then probably there was about a year still, you know, in employment, kind of just just collecting ideas, but also learning some skills. Like, I had to learn how to make 3D models, you know, to do the art for the game, and also learn a bunch of programming. So there was a big preparation stage. Then there was the actual start of the game. So like I said, I already had a bunch of ideas before that. And then I did a sort of small prototyping stage where my plan was to actually prototype 3 of the ideas I had for a game, for different games, like 3 concepts, and then pick the best one. But I spent like a week on, you know, this mountain climbing idea, and then it was good enough to just do that one. So I didn't even bother making the other ones. But that's often what a lot of people will do. They'll start with a few ideas, try them out, just make a very basic prototype for them and just see if they work. I just picked the first one that worked, to be honest, so it was all good. But yeah, like I said, that was then 2.5 years till the game was finished. As far as like success, that's a bit weird to define, because after working on the game for 1.5 years, I soft launched it in India just to test it out, really, because I didn't want to, you know, do a full release and then realize it was a disaster. So you know, a lot of people soft launch their game to make sure that everything's working okay, and there aren't any major bugs and things like that. I soft launched in India, so it was a limited audience, and then the game actually got pirated, which sounded terrifying at the time, but what happened was it got downloaded in China, or copied in China and then downloaded like 500,000 times. It was ridiculous. And then I thought that was going to be bad, but actually it ended up meaning that a publisher in China saw that the game could be really successful and then they wanted to work with me. So that was kind of the point where the game met success.
So you would say by luck also. Yes, more or less.
By total luck. But at that point, then I ended up partnering with that company, and then they wanted to improve certain things in the game, and we actually worked on it for another year. But that was the point that it was successful, because it meant that I could see that it had a lot of potential and a lot of people liked it. So yeah, but that was a bit of a crazy journey.
But it's often like that, actually. Also, like, okay, in your case it was pirating, but I heard also regarding books, for example, if someone even writes something bad about a book, that it becomes popular because it was like a very critical book, or I don't know. So even negative things can help with your public relations, right? And in that case, it was more the pirating, that people get to know that your game is existing, right? So but I think it's normal. I mean, for us, actually, it took also a time to build up the dance community, and until we had like 50 people in our class, right? So it's always, it takes very long. And also with my clients, I'm helped in their online marketing strategy. At the beginning, the strategy is not directly successful, right? It needs to have like a certain time that you get better ranked, or people actually buy, because it's not, it's always a process behind it. And for me, it's actually worse because I always want to implement everything directly and I want to be successful directly. And then I saw, that actually you need to have the tension and to wait longer term, right, to make something grow from scratch to...
Definitely. Well, I think that's what they say, like, about a lot of startups, or kind of the advice that is given, that, it's about persistence.
Yeah, persistence is the right word, I think.
Just keeping at it. Yeah, I mean, my plan actually with that game was to make a game in 3 to 6 months, like really fast, and fail and, have something that wasn't that great, but then learn learn a load of useful things from that, and then make another game and then hope that that would be successful. But that plan did not pan out because I spent too long in the first case.
No, I can understand it. But actually, there's also this, you also need to give even creativity a time, right? Because this is another thing people ask me, like, oh, they have never ideas, because they force each other so hard to be creative. And normally the creative process is really about longer term. So even if you want to have like this a certain idea, it's not comes like directly. You need to give it a time to. For me, I like to go, for example, in the nature or on a certain place where I know I can free my mind, because I think it has also a lot to do with your mindset. And also if your mind is full of other stuff and you want to achieve, the creative idea will not come directly. Definitely. You block yourself so much in having this idea.
Definitely, No, I hiking is a really good one for me as well, to kind of just relax and, think of new things, definitely.
Hiking, cool. Yeah. And other locations? Or are you, what do you need to do for that? Are you going out to do sport or running or what is another occasion for a creative state where you get to?
Well, I think the best for me is some kind of trip or a hike or something that is a kind of journey that, you know, has some amount of time. It doesn't require too much thinking or too much effort. And you can sort of let your mind relax, I think. And then the other good one for me is concerts as well, like either classical or jazz, something that's like not got lyrics, is very kind of relaxing. And also actually just sat on a train looking out the window is another really good one.
Because it's just pretty typical, actually, because you have
nothing to do. It's right? Relaxing, and you just kind of, you've always got something to look at, but it's not exactly distracting. It's just, you know, a little distracting.
Yeah, normally it's really a time where you can, where you know that you have nothing else to do. It's like you said, like even in the shower, right? You're showering. And for me, I always sing, or I really free my mind during it, because I there are some certain moments where, you know, and also in the train, you cannot escape now, and you cannot meet friends. And actually also the quarantine we were or are still right now can also be, if you free your mind, a kind of good time for creative process, don't you think so?
Well, the thing is, to me, it's all about how your state of mind is. So what I mean by that is, a lot of the time we feel pressure, we are in a rush, we're trying to do things, they might be work related, or there's something in your own personal life, like, oh, I need to make that dentist appointment, or I need to do some research, that thing that I need to get, or whatever it is. And so if you just kind of sat maybe by your computer and you're like, okay, I'm just gonna relax a minute and I'm gonna see if I come up with any ideas, like it's not very useful, because you just feel pressured that you should be doing something, that you should be productive, right? And I think that's why those kind of other moments where you're, like I said, you know, outside having a walk, having a hike, whatever, or in a concert or something, you're not going anywhere, and you're a bit distracted, but you're kind of relaxed, but it's not a point where you're thinking, oh, I need to be doing this or that, you know. Also, I think like actually just the feeling that you're kind of almost going somewhere can be a useful aid, like, you know, being on a train or even being on a plane, I find like, okay, well, I'm going somewhere. It's almost like the brain's tricked into, oh, this is useful already, so I'll allow you to come up with some ideas. It's interesting. I think it's just, a lot of us have an overactive sense of responsibility and sort of productiveness that we need to be doing something. So it's almost like you have to trick your brain to like be like, okay, yeah, we're right at the moment. I'll let you be creative.
Yeah, and even to think about other stuff, right? And not only, because sometimes you get ideas in moments you don't believe or you don't think about your project, right? Even if you meet with a friend and you talk about completely random stuff, or which has nothing to do with your game, for example, or for another project, you get sometimes ideas where you maybe didn't expect that before, because you always think, oh, it needs to do something, my thoughts needs to be around the project. It can, you can meet it everywhere, in every discussion, in every moment. You need to be more open for that, I think, also, right? Not force it. So So shortly, in 4 sentence structure creativity, what would you say to give it a structure, at least?
What's that? Sorry, what do I have to do?
Because we talked like a long time about the structuring creativity. So in a short version, like in four sentences, steps maybe for you can only talk about your creative process, but what are maybe the four steps or five, whatever, to get to collecting ideas to the structure?
Well, I would definitely kind of echo what you're saying there. I was saying everyone's process is probably different because everyone is different and everyone works in different ways. I'm kind of quite structured, I think, with my approach. And I'm the kind of person that likes to look at every option before choosing one. That's sort of how I design things as well. Having said that, my process, let's see. So step by step, I think, step one is this sort of collecting ideas stage, I guess, where it's almost like an incubation stage, I guess, where hopefully you're working on a project already, you're working on something already, and you're just, you're thinking about the next project you're going to be on and just letting ideas appear for that and noting them down when they do, in your spare time. So that's kind of, this sort of incubation period, which ideally is quite long and ideally should, always be incubating ideas. And then, during that phase, you want to, or at least I regularly will, take those ideas down and give them more structure. So that's categorizing them. Then the second stage, I would say, is you kind of want to set some goals up, really, of what you're trying to achieve. You're already going to have at least one or two goals in mind beforehand. Like, with me, it was like, I want to make a game, it's going to be a mobile game, and it's going to be an action game. So I had a few basic things I started with anyway, which help you to come up with ideas that fit within that. So that's sort of, that's, I guess you would do that right at the beginning, have that sort of starting point. But then, in stage two, you're kind of narrowing that down. So, I would say you're kind of making some more defined goals of almost restrictions about what you're going to be doing, right, that can help guide you. In game design, they often call this pillars. Like, you have some pillars for your game that are sort of these things that don't move and stay throughout the project. And you don't want too many as well, because then it's too restrictive. But with me, just to give us context with my game, if I remember correctly, the pillars were, I wanted it to be sort of relatable, something like a concept that was quite easy to understand. So that was climbing mountains, it wasn't like shooting people in space or, I don't know, something that was crazy fantasy. It was quite real world and relatively relatable. And then I had, I wanted player agency, player choice to be a really big part of it. So that was another pillar for me. Kind of emergent gameplay, like making systems that allowed some quite interesting possibilities. That was another one for me. When you have those pillars, they're sort of like the most important things that you're trying to achieve, then you'll start to be able to filter the ideas you've already written down by those pillars and figure out which ones fit and which don't. And that can help you come out with a short list. Like for me, I had to think about 10 games that sort of fit, these sort of core pillars of what I was trying to do. And then I kind of scored those ideas, those concepts, based on, those pillars, and then even more sort of requirements that I thought were important. And that's, one simple way I use. I think a lot of people do that, just have a spreadsheet, list your projects that you're trying to choose between, and then just score them on a number of criteria. and see which ones has the highest score. I tend to do it with just using colours in a spreadsheet. I don't use numbers because I think it starts to get very complex. Yeah. Like, oh, is this more important than this? And I just do
always
colour.
Always use colours, yeah.
Yeah, it's almost like a checkbox.
Like invisible.
Yeah, and then also you just kind of can just see, oh, this has the most colour, therefore it must be the best idea. But yeah, something like that. And that's kind of your narrowing down stage, I guess, of choosing a concept. And then from there, yeah, if you're working on games, you would generally prototype, like just try out a few, like say the top three, just to see which seems the best, and then pick one. And then from then, there's obviously going to be lots of creative problems to solve. And ideally, you'll be kind of thinking of those in the background in your free time as you're actually, building the game. Yeah.
I think a good thing is also, I mean, you mentioned it also, right, the last time, to sketch even ideas. And are you doing it currently, or?
You mean like actually drawing something? Yeah, I mean, I use visual, sketches, drawings, notes like that. I do that all the time for just figuring out something in my head. With if I've got a particular problem to solve, I will write it on paper and draw some weird little diagrams to try and figure it out. That's just how my brain works, because I like to see things visually. And then what I did for Hangline is I had this wall where I just put all those on the wall. Put them on the wall as I made them. And then sometimes I'd walk past the wall and look at it and be like, oh yeah, I remember that thing. Oh, maybe I should like change that to that. Or, you know, it actually sometimes would actually even help. But most of the time it was just fun to look at, though, to be honest.
This is actually an interesting question, I would say. Do you have in your creative process a part where you only use analog things, and where does it become digital? Right? Like paper, or like you said, like post-its on the wall, or I don't know.
Yeah.
So digital, analog, what
right.
Would you say?
I hate post-its. I never use post-its. They're just messy and you lose them. I'm not a post-it man. Tasks are always digital, definitely. So I try to keep task stuff as simple as possible, because I think it gets really annoying to manage that otherwise. So I think I had most of my tasks in a text document, literally. And then, you know, as I'm adding a new one in, it just goes in the list where, depending on how important it is. So I'd have the most important at the top of the list and least important at the bottom. And that's how I've operated. And then I think I moved them into a spreadsheet towards the end of the development, because it was getting a bit more like, okay, some of these are not going to get done, and I just need to, you know, kind of think about how long each of them takes, so I can get out of category for time and stuff like that. Stuff that is analog, yeah, like I said, right, kind of solving a design problem, I tend to work on paper and sketch things, yeah. So that's definitely where I would be doing it in analog, I guess. But that's kind of it, I would say. Even the visual side of the game, I only did a little bit of work on paper for it. I have to say I did do most of it on the computer. Although, thinking about it, the level design, I did actually sketch every level design on paper.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They look like weird little diagrams, because you like can't understand what the hell it means.
Do they have it?
Yeah.
I believe so, because you don't
still, of course, come on.
Yeah,
for sure. So I guess design work, I would do on paper. Yeah,
sure. Not for me the same, I think. Everything which I need to structure, I would do on the digital way. And apart from that, I like to write actually in a notebook, so very classical stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I really like to reread it and to have it in my hands. And even if you go out, you can keep your notebook and you can avoid the screen, right? Because the screen makes it already too...
No, definitely.
How would you say? yeah, you think directly, you work on that project, right? But if you just go with your notebook somewhere in the nature, for example, you can write things down, and even if they're not necessary, you think, oh, it's only in the notebook, so it doesn't need to have something to do with the project I want to do it in the end, right? So it's more like, yeah.
Definitely.
But in the creative way, what I also like to do is like not only vision boards, but mood boards, for example. Did you use things like that with images you took for getting the kind of mood for even a game or for
that's
a project or a
design? That is true. I forgot about that. So, yeah, I was saying before that I would sometimes have ideas and write those down. Just on the phone in a note-taking app, but I would also do the same for interesting stuff that I saw. So that might be, you know, you're on the computer and you see maybe you're watching a trailer and see some like interesting visual effect or just something that just looks really interesting and atmospheric maybe. So I would screen grab that and then put that in a folder. Again, categorized. I usually just categorize those straight away, to be honest. I have like this folder with just all these categories of different stuff for different types of games and different ideas. I have a huge catalog of that stuff. I was using Pinterest at one point, and that can be really useful because you can find related images. But the problem is, I was also, you know, sometimes I take a picture of something, so then it just kind of said, I guess I could have put that on Pinterest myself, but it just seemed like more hassle. So I just ended up having my own, little folder really of either screenshots or photos or anything that I saw. Even I'd be in a library and see an interesting book cover that might seem, you know, have some cool idea on it. So, yeah. Yeah, always just collecting those things, yeah.
Interesting. And what is the current project you're working on? Can we play it already or it's not still released?
It's not released yet. It is playable, but only on my computer. Yeah,
and no, not with Linux.
I've not released it, any part of it yet. But it's totally different to what I worked on last time. It's I'm building it for PC and potentially console, depending on how things go. So it's not a mobile game, and it's a twin stick shooter, so it's quite a retro styled game, but it's about a mutating viral mass of triangles that are engulfing the screen in procedural patterns, so it's quite experimental and quite weird, and it's quite an interesting design
viral
problem.
It's very good to our situation.
That is true, yeah. It's quite interesting because there's so many different ways I can take the project because it's not based on anything in reality.
It's very artistic, right? In a kind
yeah.
of way.
Yeah.
I mean, I've played it.
Yeah, exactly.
I can say that, but
yeah. It's been fun to work on it. It was meant to be just a palette cleanser, kind of small, relaxing project to do after Hangline, like just to do something different. Because you get a bit fatigued after, two or three years working on the same thing. But, as usual, it took me longer than I thought. And now it's a proper project rather than just a palette cleanser. But these things happen anyway.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it would be also interesting just to know as an indie developer. I mean, now you're more free from the mainstream industry sector, I would say. Because, I don't know. I can't believe if you work for a bigger game company that they are analyzing also a lot of their customers, what they like at the moment currently, which is like the most top games right now, which sells the most. Would you rely on that? So are you the thing is, do you produce your games because you have an idea and you really like to try things out? Or is it more that you also analyze the market and you would say like, oh, I know a lot of people will love that. I would design a game which goes in the kind of direction of the mainstream.
So it's a bit of both, really, and this is a very complex subject, and something that I think about quite a lot. So on one hand, I'm not kind of the sort of video game like artiste that is, you know, working on something truly crazy that they want to bring into the world and don't think about the commercial aspect at all. I'm not that kind of person because I want to make a sustainable business, and that's very risky to just literally do what you feel like in terms of a project. And then on the other hand, I'm definitely not, this kind of person that is doing market analysis in detail. That's usually what a bigger company will do. Obviously, if you kind of, you know, taking that approach, you're generally going to be, gravitating towards a very safe bet, right? That's why so many games are remakes and prequels and sequels and so on. That's why so many movies also are, from Hollywood, because they're spending a lot of money on these films. They want it to be a safe bet, right? That will bring back money. So I'm definitely not on that side, because I don't really do any in-depth analysis, but I do analysis. I pay attention to, as much as I can, the new releases of games every single week. I will look at what got released. It's really hard to pay attention to all of it because there's so many games released like every single week now.
So what is mainstream now? So what are the, so from the genre, we'll say? What is like very popular right now? So as you're doing your weekly analysis, so in general, not maybe the name, but in general, yeah, which type of game?
Right. There's a lot of card, deck building games on PC that are pretty popular. Survival as well is really a popular theme. There's a ton of games. I mean, I guess Minecraft's inspired a lot of that. But like survival and building games are pretty big on Steam right now. It's a very popular category. I don't just do this with games. I also do it with movies too. I watch all the new trailers every week just to see really what's popular and what's kind of trending, really. Because it helps you to see and potentially spot trends in advance, because it's really difficult when you're working on something as big as a game. It's possibly the same with movies too. Like, basically it takes a few years to make it, so in a few years time, like, what's the landscape going to be, you know, what's happening, what are people going to be thinking of, what's going to be popular, and the truth is nobody knows, but you can try and guess that a bit better by looking at previous trends and by just staying up to date and paying attention of what's in at the moment. That's a really important aspect of it. There's also other things you can do with games. There's a lot of data about what has sold in terms of, at least on PC with Steam, you can see a lot of sales figures through various platforms like Steam Spy. They're not necessarily very accurate, but they at least give you some picture. You know, you can analyze kind of what genres have done well. Also, what are the most popular genres of games? So that might, you know, you're not necessarily looking at like, oh, what's the most popular one? I'll make that. You're more about like what's not so popular but has the potential, to be something that people could really get into. It's very difficult, and no one can do this. There's no perfect formula for it, because if there was, then, you know, everyone would be successful, right? It's really complicated, and it's really important too, because at the end of the day, like, if people don't want to play your game, like if it's not of interest to them, then you're kind of screwed. So
yeah, of course, you need to find a balance between that, right?
You need, yeah, it's finding that balance between you creating something unique that you're passionate about, but also creating something that is has potential to make money. Yeah.
Yeah.
Commercially viable, let's say.
Yeah. Even for a certain group, right? You don't need to have or to reach everyone with that. If you have people who only like to play shooters game and are not open for anything else, why should you try to reach them, right? I think it's also okay to say, to exclude people.
No, and absolutely, this is
something which everyone also needs to learn in their business, that it's okay that you don't reach everyone, but you need to reach your certain group, right?
It's a really interesting problem because it actually is dependent on how big you are. So if you're massive and you're spending a ton of money on a game, you basically need to sell a load of copies to make that money back. So you're going to be looking at a pretty broad spectrum of player types. So, you know, your kind of more mainstream or casual games are, you're wanting to appeal to as many people as possible, you know, kind of like a Pixar or a Disney movie in some ways. But if you're tiny, you don't need to do that. In fact, if you're tiny, you're a 1, 2, 3 person team, you're probably going to be looking at more niche audiences, where you can find some people that like a specific thing and really go for it. I mean, you know, probably you don't know this, but there is a game about driving trucks, which you'd think sounds absolutely boring, but it's very successful, you know.
So,
there's something for everyone out there. Yeah, there's also...
Did you try it out?
No, I did not try it out. It doesn't fall within my spectrum of interest, but I'm sure it does for some people. There's all kinds of stuff that you, and I think I read somewhere that like you should view it a bit like internet dating. Like apparently in internet dating you don't just want to look like the most kind of appealing to everyone, like I like movies, I like going to restaurants and super generic.
You actually special, right?
Want to be specific. Yeah. Like, you know, if you're some kind of cosplayer or something, you want to say I am a cosplayer, and then you're going to exclude 90% of people, but 10% are going to think you're amazing. So
the most difficult part is if the target group is too wide, right? Because you would reach like 60 million or more people, but actually not really, because they don't feel like, oh yeah, this is actually what I want. So narrow down things is, I think, in every business quite important, right? Even, okay, maybe if you sell something which everyone can use, like a pen or, I don't know, something random, which is in every household, it's another thing, right? But to narrow things down much makes it also much easier to reach this person. I mean, because you know this is the interest I have, and therefore I think it's the perfect product for me. And what do I wanted to say? I don't know. Where can we find you in the whole internet? Do you have where do we find your games, or do you have like something I can link down?
I do have a website. I'm not updating it an awful lot at the moment, but in the future I'm sure I will. And that's just my company name, which is Dino Boss. So it's just dinoboss.com.
I think I never saw your website.
Yeah,
thank you for telling me now, so I can check it out.
That you never saw it. it's pretty simple right now. On there, there's a mailing list that you can sign up to if you want to know what I'm working on, or if I write an article on design or anything. You can also follow me on Twitter. That's just edform, so EDFORM. And I don't really post that much on Twitter, but I do I do post occasionally if I see something interesting worth sharing, or if I want to share something about what I'm working on.
But I really can recommend your article, by the way. I don't know, where can we find it? The recent article about how you released your first game.
Yeah, it's on Gama Sutra, but I actually, that's a good point. I should probably write links to those articles on my website.
Yeah, so, I think now it's time, right?
Yeah, I like this idea.
Cool. Yeah, then maybe you can, yeah, just say, what is, just one sentence, creativity for me?
I would say it's about being patient and persistent and kind of not expecting things, not expecting ideas when you need them, but just letting things happen naturally and being diligent that when you have those moments of inspiration, you can take advantage of them, or you can record them and then use them later. And then aside from that, I would say it's, you can also train your mind to be more creative through practice.
That's a good final sentence, but actually, yeah, it fits very good to the topic of creativity event, because we are still doing our creativity event online every Wednesday until the lockdown is over. So if you're right now in Germany, Switzerland, Austria, I don't know, you can even participate. We have also some participants actually from Germany right now. And yeah, we have, tomorrow is one, but I think we will release this podcast maybe too late. We will do an impro play creative script writing together. And yeah, normally our creativity events are always like having a short time, like 5 minutes, 4 minutes to create something together or alone in a form of creative writing, cartoons, impro play. What else did we make? We made
origami.
A lot of stuff. Origami.
Your
I love it. Modeling clay. So we have always another topic. And right now we're doing it via Zoom. And yeah, so if you want to be part of that, you can also subscribe on the Art Dance Love English page. Yeah, there you will see all the events which will happen soon. And yeah, I think the next weeks we will still do our creativity event online. So take the chance and be part of it. And yeah. Do you have another question? If not, I would say, like, yeah, it was nice to chat with you, like always.
It was nice to chat with you as well.
Yeah, cool. So, hope to not see you, but yeah, maybe see you at the event, and yeah, you can hear the next podcast also on Spotify, etc.